Barrington Stage Company is now presenting the screwball comedy His Girl Friday. John Guare's adaptation of Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur's original play The Front Page and the screen version His Girl Friday through August 30th at Barrington Stage's Boyd Quinson Main Stage. His Girl Friday is a no-holds-barred satire on tabloid journalism that crackles with quick quips, rapid-fire repartee, and a big dose of sexual sparring. Playwright John Guare has written such classics as House of Blue Leaves, Six Degrees of Separation, and Landscape of the Body, among others. He wrote the Oscar-nominated screenplay for Louis Malle's Atlantic City, won a Tony for his libretto to the musical Two Gentlemen of Verona, and was nominated for multiple Tonys for his play Four Baboons Adoring the Sun. John Guare's His Girl Friday runs through August 30th, and it's a great pleasure to welcome John Guare to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Hi, Joe Donahue.
How are you, sir?
Good, good.
I've been such a fan of your work, and what I found remarkable or interesting about this production is that you wanted to be involved and you wanted to work on it and tweak it even more. Tell us how that
it wasn't tweaking it. It was really making, because the Front Page is so different in dynamics from His Girl Friday that it was finding a way, a new balance, a new structure for it to allow the dynamism of these two great American classics to find a new life. Because in the Front Page, Walter Burns, who was played by Chris Invar so brilliantly in the Front Page, doesn't appear until the third act. He's an offstage figure.
Right.
And in the movie of His Girl Friday, they don't go to the newsroom until 45 minutes into the movie. So it was having it all in one set, having it in the newsroom of the criminal courts building. It was just, and also the Front Page was set in, reflected in the world of newspapers right after the First World War in the late teens, early 20s. The play opened, you know, came from the mid 20s, this great play. And the movie was made in the month of August, 1939. And I got the idea, I said, oh, well, it's a news story. It's a newsroom. We have to be reflecting the news. What is happening in the world? And it's the very end. August 1939 is fantastic because it's the last, it's the end of America's, in the last days, unwittingly, they don't know, we don't know yet, of America's isolationism. I mean, people like Charles Lindbergh and Henry Ford are saying, let's stay out of Europe. They're, you know, Hitler's not so bad. They have a great air force. We do business with them. You know, America has no business in Europe. And then on September 1st, when the play ends, Germany invades Poland, and all bets are off. And we begin to become an international power. So it's all about local politics becoming international politics, and the expansion of the news. And it was just a wonderful. It was also a great month. I mean, it's a month when, I mean, 1939 was great. The Gone with the Wind, The Wizard of Oz, Nanotchka's Stagecoach. I mean, people call it the greatest year in movies. And no wonder people wanted to go to the movies, because the world was in such chaos that people needed to escape. And I wanted to reflect that world that people needed to escape from. And it's that energy that, so it was not tweaking, it was not just tweaking things, changing the gender. It was really just re-examining the strengths of both the play and the screenplay by Charlie Lederer, who coincidentally was the nephew of Marion Davies, who was the mistress of William Randolph Hearst.
Well, there you go.
So I guess he knew from whence he was talking about. And, I had never done anything like this. When Nicholas Heitner, who was just taking over the National Theater, asked me to do it, it was just such a challenge, and using muscles I had never used before, that I couldn't resist it.
So that was 2003 that you did it in London. But my understanding is that you have worked on it since then for this production.
When we did it in London, where it was a terrific success, they announced it before we had the rights. And getting the rights to it was a nightmare because they had to go to the Ben Hector estate, they had to go to the Charlie MacArthur estate, they had to go to Columbia Pictures, and getting the rights, you know, to go along with this request from the National Theater. I didn't want to start work on the damn thing until, and have my heart broken, until I was sure I had the rights. We did not get the rights until 90 days before rehearsal started. And so I had 90 days. They already announced, they announced the production, announced rehearsal dates, and we had no script, and I had 90 days to write it. So it was back, it was hilarious fun, you know, rushing, beating the clock, trying to get this together. But there were things that I wanted to, that I wanted to tend to. That, you know, so over the years, when we did it at the Guthrie with Courtney Vance and Angela Bassett, I did some more work on it. And then they did a wonderful production at Trinity Rep in Providence, Rhode Island a year and a half ago that I just loved. And I saw more things that I wanted to do to it. And then when Julianne Boyd said she wanted to do it, I saw other things we wanted to do to it. And so it's that's where the tweaking comes in.
Right.
The tweaking has begun in the last couple of years.
So take us to the stages of Barrington Stage, where you have been working on this production that's obviously up now. But what did you want to oversee? What did you want to work on with Julianne Boyd?
What we talked about was it was capturing the spirit of the time. Was how we find, you know, how we find the energy with it. Because a screwball comedy, that just sounds like, oh, just people like acting crazy. How to let the cast know what is happening in the world, what is going on outside that is driving everybody nuts. And the screwball comedy is just not, you know, sometimes people say, oh, screwball just means people acting wacky. Well, it's the world at this time was becoming a screwball comedy because people did not know how to respond to all the changes that were happening internationally. And so it was mainly that. It was just letting that the comedy comes out of a real political force, trying to block off the world, trying to deny the world, to deny what's happening in the world, and coming to terms with it. And so that's what we wanted to find, was to let the actors have a unified tone of madness that would reflect the madness of that time.
When you speak about working with the estates and getting the rights and working on that, what is the challenge / pressure of working on an established piece of theater?
Well, it's rarely done. So the challenge is earning their trust that we want to make a third entity out of these two entities, and will you give us the right to do that? So that's and all the legal details I leave to the lawyers and the agents who worked many hours to get this done.
But obviously, you want to be true to the work, and you have a love for it in the first place.
Yeah.
So,
and it was a world that I wanted, you know, it was a world that I wanted to. They once asked John Gielgud how he chose a part, the great actor.
Right.
You know, and he said, oh, I never choose a part. He said, what I do is that I read a play and I say, do I want to live in this world for a year of my life? And if I like that world, what citizen do I want to be?
Hmm.
And that's what I felt. I loved the world of the front page and this newspaper world of the front page and the and His Girl Friday so much that I wanted to live in that world and annihilate myself and try to channel Hecht and MacArthur and Lederer and Howard Hawks as if they were alive now.
In that process and in that immersion, did you change or have any real true awakening in regards to journalism and especially tabloid journalism?
Well, I must say the main thing is that they you've got to sell the paper. You only have one day to sell the paper.
Right.
It's what do you, how do you make the people on the street say, I've got to buy that paper today. What's going on in the world? And especially back in this time, in the world of the front page and the front page, there were so many papers. There were 6 or 8, you know, or 10 dailies every day vying for attention. So it's like, you know, it's like it reminded me today, strangely, of the connection of the tabloid papers and all our talk television, you know, it's everybody trying to talk loudest to get the attention. Like Trump, who can say the loudest, who can be the most outrageous to get the most attention?
Right.
And that's what it's trying to do. How it seemed to be, again, the screwball part, how do I get the reader's attention and make them want to buy a copy and still stay truthful? Most people don't care about the truth. They just care. Most papers back then didn't care about that, maybe even today. Maybe even some networks don't care about the truth as much as they care about getting the story.
How does a playwright get our attention?
Well, I think hopefully by saying, making the audience say, oh, yeah, you know what? I want to live in this world, too.
Hmm. You want us to be a part of that world.
Yeah, I think when you go, I always remember once I saw, it dawned on me, this is many years ago, it was a Tom Stoppard play called The Real Thing.
Hmm.
And in the middle of the second act, a woman behind me said, out loud, everybody, she said, with no irony, she said, I feel so witty. And everybody laughed because I realized the gift of Tom Stoppard is that he makes the audience feel witty. He makes the audience feel that they are smarter than they might be, more dazzling than they might be. That's the wonderful Tom Stoppard's great gift. I think that when you write a play, you just say, you know, whether it's the world of Pinter, you want to move into that world of Pinter. You want things to be mysterious, or you want the world of Beckett, you want to see how people deal with despair, or the world of Tennessee Williams, you want to see how people deal with their demons, and Arthur Miller, you want to see how people deal with injustice. It's a world, the playwright hopefully gives us a world that the audience puts on as a costume.
Hmm.
And that's why we go to the theater to feel, to forget ourselves, but to put on a new costume. And everybody, that's why I love the theater, because it's a place that makes the audience want to put on a costume too. And that's the role of a successful production, is that it puts the audience, it gives the audience that costume to have a new identity for the time the play is on.
Is that costume of a His Girl Friday, and not asking you to really compare the works, but is that costume, does that ever take its toll on you of comparing a His Girl Friday to, say, a House of Blue Leaves, which is much heavier and much more wrenching and could to be in that world for you?
But House of Blue Leaves has nothing to do with the world of His Girl Friday.
Right.
So that they can't, they're not in competition with each other.
I mean, for you as a playwright, of being in that world and creating that world, does it become more
wrenching?
Well,
that's why it was a gift. No, it was, that, as I said, the main thing was I went into it with, as an intellectual exercise, to say, this is going to make me use new muscles.
Yes.
So I was coming in to rebuild something that was already there. And so it's just, but every play forces you to use, the playwright to use new muscles. And this came at a time in my life when I was just finishing up something, and Nick said, listen, we've just finished something, why don't you try this? And I did. Not every play is House of Blue Leaves, because that was based on, right, came out of my family.
Right.
And that was my own, that was the modus was trying to figure out a personal anguish. That was not the task of His Girl Friday.
What are you working on next? What's next?
I'm in rehearsal right now. There's a Festival of Tennessee Williams, but they've asked a bunch of playwrights to adapt a short story of Tennessee's into a play. And so with that opens the first week in, it starts playing at 59 East 59th Street in New York. We start playing the first week in September and run through the middle of October. And I'm in rehearsal for that right now. And then I have another new play that's we're doing another adaptation of a Tennessee Williams short story that's a long play that we're doing at Provincetown, the Tennessee Williams Festival. And then I'm finally, just this next week, a director I'm working with is back from vacation. We're going to start work on another play, hoping to get it on this season. So it's just same old. I'm busy as hell, and I couldn't be happier. I'm in the middle of a new play right now.
Good stuff. John Guare's His Girl Friday runs through August 30th at Barrington Stages, Boyd Quinson Main Stage. John Guare, what a treat. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Joe Donahue, a pleasure to meet you.
And okay, to you, fine, thank you very bye. Much. Again, His Girl Friday runs through August 30th at Barrington Stages, Boyd Quinson Main Stage. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.